religious. They were worshiping. They were singing. They were offering. They were tithing. They were doing a lot of really good things. Not bad things, people, hear me. Good things. But their hearts were far from heaven. Their words and their deeds, they looked religious, they looked godly on the outside, but their hearts and their desires and their affections were far from God. And brothers and sisters, we can fall into that same trap. We can give our check every month or every week. We can sing the songs and thank you, Jinwee. That was a glorious time of worship. I really enjoyed that this morning. But we can just kind of go through those motions and we can miss the reality of what Christ truly desires from us. He desires our hearts. He desires a personal, intimate relationship through faith and repentance in Him. And so don't be tricked into thinking that, merely attending church, merely offering up parts of your tithes, singing our songs to the melody of our hearts, the melody of our words, that's not enough. God wants our hearts. God wants our true, authentic worship. And the Israelites are just going through the motions. And God calls them out in 21 through 23. I mean, these are very, very poignant words here, are they not? And they're still going through the motions. So let's take a look at a second reason we see in our text, a second way that we can kind of fall into this trap. And that is that we can be very wealthy on earth and miss heaven. Now, I want to be clear. There's nothing wrong with wealth. Nothing wrong with being rich. The Bible does not say that money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And so money in and of itself is not a bad thing. Being wealthy is not a bad thing. It could be a really good thing. Okay? But we're going to see in our text today that they are not using their wealth as God has called them to. They're not using their wealth in a way that promotes the ministry of and the light of Yahweh, that is showing the glory of God. They're using their wealth to just be comfortable and convenient and ease, at ease in their lives. So take a look at verses 6:1 with me. It says, "Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure on the mountains of Samaria." And so there's this group of people within Israel that are very wealthy, and they're just living at ease. They have no trouble. They have no desire to care for others and use their wealth on earth for God's glory. And in fact, it kind of reminds us of Jesus' parable in Luke chapter 12. Look what Jesus says here. He says, "And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Again, Jesus is not condemning riches. He is condemning a heart and a use of riches that's completely focused on ourselves, that's completely focused on this earth and not on God. And so when we talk about the treasures that God has blessed us with, let's make sure that we're using them for God's glory. Let's make sure that we are laying up treasures for God with our wealth, and not treasures for ourselves, because treasures can be very blinding. Wealth can be very blinding, because we can begin to think that we have everything we need and we don't need God. Alright? We have everything we need and we don't need God. That's a dangerous place to be. And that's exactly where Israel and Judah are. They're at ease. They feel secure in of themselves. They're not relying on God. They're not drawing their strength and their identity from recognizing their need for God. And they're not ready for the day of the Lord. If you don't think you need God, you're not ready for the day of the Lord. A third way that we can be tricked into thinking that we are ready for this day when we're really not, is that we're very notable on earth. I want to say again, there's nothing wrong with being notable. There's nothing wrong with being very well known. It doesn't forbid you from the kingdom of heaven in any way, right? We have very famous professional athletes who are Christians. We have people in government that are Christians. We have singers and songwriters that are very well known across the world that are faithful Christians to God. But like wealth, notoriety can be blinding as well. Fame on earth can be blinding as well. And we see that in the last portion of verse 1 in chapter 6. It says that a warning to those who are at ease in Zion, those who feel secure on the mountain of Samaria, the notable men of the first of the nations to whom the house of Israel comes. The notable men. So these men were highly regarded. These men were notable in their communities. These men were respected. But these men allowed their fame and their vain glory on earth to blind them to their need. And we see that often in our culture, in our world today, is that a lot of people who are very famous are very self-sufficient. They don't think that they need God. And Paul addresses this in 1 Corinthians 1. He says, consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And so what we see here is that what was happening in Paul's day was also happening in Amos' day, is that people thought because they were of noble birth, because they had great worldly standards, because they were powerful in this world, that they didn't need God. And Israel is going through the same thing. There's people in Israel, amongst the Israelites, that are of noble birth, that have this fame, and they don't think that they need God. And so most of us maybe don't struggle with that. Maybe you do, you know. But it can happen to anybody. You know, maybe you're a manager at work. Maybe you are a leader in the church. And just that position alone can sometimes be blind. I wanted to add one point to this as well. We see in verse 2, the scripture says, pass over to Calna and see, and from there go down to Hamath the Great, then go down to Gath and the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms, or is their territory greater than your territory? And so not just nobility, but also I wanted to point out that the Israelites thought that because they lived in Israel and they lived in Judah, that they were good with God. And we need to understand that just because we live in America, that doesn't exempt us in any way from faithfully following God. That doesn't exempt us in any way. America, in many ways, is becoming a more and more of a godless nation. Through, you know, agendas, political agendas, and through just cultural shifts. And so Amos is kind of saying, you know, hey, you think your kingdom or your territory is better than anybody else? But that's not the case. You need to repent and follow the Lord just as anybody else would. I think sometimes it's a good reminder to us and America here to have that reminder that we're